老头说是，老头说是，是这样，是这样。Let's try that again. Good morning, dear viewer. I'm Pastor Mozzie from Bikers Church in the Vaal Triangle. Welcome to this week's edition of a message of encouragement to you. To be or not to be is a question asked by a character in the Shakespeare play called Hamlet. And I'm going to ask you the same question this morning. To be or not to be? Are you going to choose to be a God pleaser or a man pleaser? In Acts chapter 5 and verse 29, the apostles had started spreading the good news of Jesus, and there were people that were not happy about that, trying to oppose the gospel. And with their lives being threatened, the apostles were warned that they must not tell anybody about this man called Jesus. In Peter's reply in Acts chapter 5 and verse 29, he says, the apostle replied, we must obey God rather than any human authority. What a radical statement. The scripture also teaches that we are to obey our authorities, our governments, and our leaders. The interesting thing about platforms of authority and leadership is that every one of them have been given by God. Listen carefully. All platforms and levels of authority have been given by God. Albeit that those platforms of influence and authority are not always exercised in a godly manner. In Romans chapter 13, verse 1 to 5, the scripture says, everyone must submit to governing authorities, for all authority comes from God, and those in positions of authority have been placed there by God. So anyone who rebels against authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and they will be punished. For the authorities do not strike fear in people who are doing right, but in those who are doing wrong. Where do you stand with that? Would you like to live without fear of the authorities? Do what is right, and they will honor you. The authorities are God's servants, sent for your good. But if you're doing wrong, of course you should be afraid, for they have the power to punish you. They are God's servants, sent for the very purpose of punishing those who do what is wrong. So you must submit to them, not only to avoid punishment, but also to keep a clear conscience. That's a sobering passage of Scripture. In a world we're living where there's uprisings in all over the world and governments are unhappy with the people they govern, and the people that are governed are unhappy by the governments that are governing them, and leaders are pulled into disrepute, and people complain and moan and groan. There's good leaders, there's bad leaders, there's people that are easy to govern and people that are not easy to govern. As the Church of Jesus Christ, where do we stand in terms of that here in our country in 2021? The question I'd like to pose further to you this morning is, what if your government requires that you act in an unscriptural way? What if your government requires that you obey laws implemented by that government, which is appointed by God, but is contrary to Scripture? What if you are required to obey laws that you know go against your moral, scriptural convictions? Kind of a dilemma, isn't it? Where the Scripture on the one hand requires you to obey the governing authorities, but you know the government requires of you to do something that is unscriptural. For example, our government in this country makes it legal for abortion and pornography to take place. So are you now going to go out and obey your government because the government says it's okay to murder an unborn child? If the government says it's okay to indulge in pornography, are you going to allow your children access to that? Are you going to delve into that? And this is a challenge that we face. I believe we're in a time right now where men and women of God are going to have to rise up and become people of conviction instead of people of convenience and preference. The Bible teaches us a story of four men, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And in Daniel chapter 1, there's a godly man who has to sit under the leadership and guidance of an ungodly leader. An ungodly leader is King Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar makes a decree that certain people that he's prepping for leadership have to eat certain things. And this is against Daniel's convictions. And he makes a stand boldly for his convictions. And he chooses to go against the ruling of the government. He chooses to go against the leader appointed by God. And Daniel chose to eat what he saw fit to eat. If you study that portion of scripture further, you will see that it turned out for the good for Daniel. He ended up being much more healthier, much more good looking, and sharper than any of the other people that submitted to the king's instruction to eat the king's delicacies. The story goes on in Daniel chapter 3 to tell us about three young boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And this same ungodly king made a decree that every single person in the country or the area that he governed needed to bow and worship a statue, a man-made idol that King Nebuchadnezzar had made. And the ruling was that when the music played, the people had to bow down and worship that idol. You can imagine the clash of values and the decisions that the people needed to make at that time. If you choose to disobey the king, you will be offed. They'll take you out. You will be snuffed out. And you will be killed. So the people were faced with this. Either we obey this king and this instruction and live, or we disobey and die. Daniel chapter 3, verse 16 to 17, we see that a group of godless people plotted against godly people. Mistake. Because when you come against God's people, you come against him. And the ruling went out that those who disobey this order will be thrown into the fire. Enter Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, young men who live by conviction and principles instead of preference and convenience. In Daniel chapter 3, verse 16 to 17, the scripture says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to this command of the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you. This was when they were about to be thrown into the fire and already threatened with death. I submitted to you that there were probably people before them already that had disobeyed, and these young men got to see these people being cooked alive and fried. And yet in the face of this imminent death, they stood their ground. The boys go on to say, if we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God whom we serve is able to save us. He will rescue us from your power, your majesty. I think they understood that that level of authority was given by God anyway. And the scripture goes on to say, "We will, your majesty, we will never serve your gods or worship the gold statue you have set up." And they were thrown into the fire. And the story goes and describes how three of them were thrown into the fire and a fourth person was visible in the fire. The Lord met them in the fire and delivered them. And these boys said, you know, even if it means we lose our lives, we're not going to bow down to you. There's a clear difference and a watershed moment that came in these young men's lives where they had to make a decision to live by conviction and principle or comfort and convenience. You see, when it comes to decisions like this, decision-making is made easy when there's no compromise in your value system. The Apostle Paul also faced a time in his life where he had to face a decision regarding convenience or conviction. Apostle Paul describes a challenge, an internal struggle that he had inside him, where he's longing to reach the unlost and live out the conviction of his heart. He met Jesus personally on the road to Damascus, and Jesus told him to go do what he needed to do to establish the kingdom of God and to build the church. And Paul lived that conviction out, where he lived to tell people about Jesus. And that's a daunting responsibility. And yet at the same time, he had a longing to be with Jesus. He had a longing to be with his Lord in his eternal home in glory. And in wrestling this through in his mind, he had to decide, I'd like to be with Jesus. And yet there's so many people that need this message that God has given me. And in Philippians chapter 1, verse 21 to 24, Paul says, "For to me, living means living for Christ, and dying is even better." Some translations say that for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. And Paul goes on to say, but if I live, I can do more fruitful work for Christ. So I really don't know which is better. I'm torn between two desires. I long to go and be with Christ, which would be far better for me. But for your sakes, it is better that I continue to live. I submit to you that in his heart of hearts, if Paul wanted to do his own thing, he would have chosen to be with the Lord. Because many times he was threatened to the point of death. One time he was stoned to the point where they believed he was dead. So he could have gone to be with the Lord at his choice, I suppose. And yet for the sake of the unlost, for the sake of fulfilling out the conviction that God had placed on his heart to reach the lost with the life-giving and life-changing power of the gospel of Jesus, Paul chose to stick around longer and preach the good news. Paul made a choice between the convenience of living with Jesus at his side, at his heavenly home, forever and ever, where everything is just good, or struggling down here on earth, facing the same daily struggles that we face, and even more so than most, because he was such a threat to the devil. The devil threw everything that hell has to offer at Paul to stop him, but he could not be stopped. Jesus also faced a decision like this. Came time for Jesus to be arrested. His work on earth was almost done. He'd fulfilled his public ministry for just over 3.5 years, and he was about to be arrested to fulfill his personal destiny of the 12 odd hours that he was arrested, and for the final few moments on the cross where his life's destiny was fulfilled. And he called his disciples to the Garden of Gethsemane to pray with him. And he knew he'd be arrested soon and he'd have to lay down his life for us. And he wrestles with this idea and this thought in his head, where the human aspect of Jesus, so to speak, asks God, if it's possible, if I can get out of having to lay my life down for people who want to kill me anyway, if I could get out of having to lay my life down for people who do not believe me anyway, if I can get out of laying my life down for people that may or may not believe me and accept my message, I'd like to get out of it. But if it's your will, Lord God, I'd rather do your will. And in Mark chapter 14 and verse 36, Jesus says, "Abba, Father," he cried out, "everything is possible for you. Please take this cup of suffering away from me. Yet I want your will to be done, not mine." And folks, praise God that because Jesus was a man, just as you and I are a man and fully God, he chose to be a man of conviction and principle rather than convenience. And because of his obedience, I'm sitting here today. Because of his obedience, you have the privilege of watching this message. Because of his obedience, we have the privilege of calling on his name and saying, "Lord, rescue us from this mess." As we get closer and closer to the return of Jesus, and as we deal more and more with godless governments led by godless leaders, the time has come for the people of God to rise up and make this decision: to be or not to be. Are you going to be a people pleaser or a God pleaser? A man pleaser or a God pleaser? What if the next instructions given to us in this country are to do stuff that's completely unscriptural? For example, you may not preach, you may not teach, you may not tell people about the good news, you may not share your faith, you may not worship publicly. In fact, you may not get together corporately and worship because of certain rules and regulations. I believe the time has come where the people of God need to rise up and listen to what the Spirit of God is saying and place that into godly perspective and godly balance with what the governments of the day are dictating. Folks, our brothers and sisters in the Lord in persecuted countries all over the world where the church is persecuted and gone underground live very, very different lives to us. The time has come for us, you dear listener, myself included, to choose. Are we going to be people of convenience and comfort, or courage, conviction, and principle? As we end off, my encouragement to you is this. In the days, months, weeks, hours that lay ahead, who knows how long the world is going to be under the sway of this thing called COVID-19. I trust you take the time to allow God to, by His Spirit, search your heart and help you decide where you stand in this. And may God, by His grace and His anointing upon your life, help you to become a man or a woman of godly conviction and godly courage. Thank you for taking the time to listen. We do not know the challenges and the struggles that you're going through personally, but know this. We are praying for you fervently and earnestly. We love you dearly and care for you. And we know that these things happen in our lives, depending on the attitude that we have during these difficult times, will determine how we come out. We believe and stand with you that we're going to come out better men and women of God than before COVID entered the world. Till such time that we get together again and share God's word like this, may Almighty God bless you and keep you. May God make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God lift up His countenance over you and give you supernatural peace that surpasses all understanding. God bless you. Cheers.